The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, it's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Continue our study this evening, Genesis 6, where we'll pick up the exegesis, verse 17. All right, at any given point in time, we're either in a state of carnality or a state of spirituality. How you get into carnality is through personal sin in life. How you recapture spirituality is through the rebound technique. 1 John 1:9 is mechanics, to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. In filling with God the Holy Spirit, there is no gray line. You have isolated the sin nature in that capacity. And God the Holy Spirit is therefore predisposed in rulership position over the real you, the soul, to lead and guide and direct you into all truth as well as into all applications of Bible doctrine under the umbrella of experiential righteousness as designed by God Himself. So with that in mind, as is our custom, we'll make sure that you're in fellowship as we give you opportunity to rebound, if necessary, to start a normal word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your absolute righteousness. We thank you for your nature of grace in providing that for those who are seekers of you, who are willing to align themselves up with your word. And we thank you for permitting us to operate in this capacity, in spite of the fact that we're non-deserving otherwise, but that the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the magnitude of his grace is such that indeed we can have fellowship with you, with one another, truly for now, in time, as well as all eternity in this capacity. We ask once again the seeing of God, the Holy Spirit, will enlighten us to the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in this section, scene two, God has given Noah a heads up that judgment upon the world is imminent. He then immediately falls behind that with his directed will for Noah to build an ark. And the ark, obviously, is to be built for himself, as he says, for yourself, Noah, giving Noah a peek in regards to the purpose of the command that is to his benefit. Now, in verse 17, God removes all doubt and explain specifically why Noah is to build an ark, a seagoing vessel, as so described for us by the scriptures. Looking here at verse 17, the Hebrew. And behold, I am bringing the flood water upon the earth. Yeah, the wow conjunction. Plus the pronoun here, personal pronoun, first common singular, ani, A-N-I-Y. It's emphatic. Followed with interjectory particle, exclamatory, if you will, henna, behold, H-I-N-N-E-H. And I myself, behold, am bringing the flood water upon the earth. And bringing is the hiphil form of the participial verb, masculine singular absolute, to bring, to go, to enter, as it may be translated otherwise, B-O. Am causing to bring, hiphil is causative in his action, followed with the sign of direct object. And then the definite article with the common masculine singular noun absolute for our word flood, Mabul, M-A-B-B-U-L. This noun is used 13 times. It's always technical for Noah's flood. That's the only way it's used in context That's Noah's flood. Here is flood of waters. Obviously, that may seem redundant to us, but that's the expression in the Hebrew. You had the common masculine plural absolute noun for waters, mayim, M-A-Y-I-M. Upon the earth, preposition all, A-L, definite article, common feminine singular absolute noun, earth, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. And it gives the purpose or result to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life from under the heaven, from under heaven. You have the preposition lamed, followed with the PL, infinitive, intensive, active, construct of our verb to destroy, shakath, or ruin as it may be, S-H-A-C-H-A-T-H. To utterly destroy, the PL intensive form, all flesh, common masculine singular construct, noun coal, K-O-L, all of, follow with our noun for flesh, common masculine singular absolute, bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. Then you have the relative pronoun, asher, A-S-H-E-R, with the preposition, bait, with the third masculine singular suffix, which in it, the breath of, is a common both singular construct of our word for breath or spirit, as it may be translated, ruach, R-U-A-C-H. The breath of lives. Lives is a common masculine plural absolute, kayim, C-H-A-Y-Y-I-Y-M. From under the heavens, preposition men. Then our preposition under is tachath, T-A-C-H-A-T-H. And then our noun, common, masculine, plural, absolute, word for heavens in the plural, shamayim, recognizing both the first, second, and third heaven that in existence, S-H-A-M-A-Y-I-M. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. You have the common masculine singular noun absolute, coal, everything, K-O-L, which, relative pronoun, asher, repeated, on the earth, preposition bait, with our definite article and noun for earth, eretz again, all which is on the earth, and then our verb of destruction here, to die or perish, cal, imperfect third masculine singular, gawa, G-A-W-A, will perish, die, terminated. And behold, rereading the verse, I, even I, am bringing the flood water upon the earth to destroy, for the purpose to destroy all flesh, and which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth will perish. The analysis of verse 17. 1. Leaving no room for doubt, God now gives the precise purpose for his command to build an ark. Again, Noah might have discerned the implication that the judgment, even though God didn't specifically state it in the preceding verses, would be by some form of water, and that he would have deliverance via this vessel, as God told him, make for yourself an ark. Now, obviously, God removes all doubt. Again, when one embraces the truth of doctrine, it gives you discernment. As you continue on with doctrine, you build your frame of reference. Doctrine will validate itself continually. And often things that may be hazy at the beginning do become even more clear as time and gray goes along in regards to one's Christian life. But obviously, to reach those expectations of understanding in-depth understanding of doctrine demands a regiment and a positive volition in regards to embracing the doctrine as it is taught along the way. One cannot be playing cute with doctrine, rationalizing it, rejecting it. Otherwise, God judges them, and they remain blind with respect to the full insight or full counsel of Bible doctrine as otherwise so intended. So now, God removes all doubt, removes any venue of doubt that might otherwise exist in Noah's mind, and confirms exactly what Noah probably did discern to a certain degree anyway. So, too, the phrase, "and behold, I, even I," is literally in the Hebrew, "and I myself behold," wow, ani hina in the Hebrew. So, three, the interjectory, "behold," emphatically declares God as the author of the flood. Obviously, the speech draws complete attention to the narrator, God, in this situation as he's speaking to Noah. And he declares himself as the author of the flood. That's one thing that it's hard for many in the human race to get over. And that God brings judgment through adverse environmental circumstances and situations. It is a part of his judgment. Obviously, he is free to use his creation as he has so designed it, as it might operate in regards to his physics, etc. But God is still in charge. He is the one who blesses and curses nature. He is the one that created it. He stays on top of it every second of existence of the planet. The world wants to bypass God in regards to things that do happen in this world, unless sometimes it's good, and then, oh yeah, they'll give credit to him a little bit then. But the bad things, it's always Mother Nature. No, it's not. It's Father God. Mother Nature is nothing more than simply the human viewpoint approach in rejection in regards to the authority of our universe, the ultimate authority, God. And God here emphatically declares he's going to wipe out man, the entire population of the planet, obviously with the exceptions. For confer Psalm 29:10, which I have written out for you. The Lord sat, obviously enthroned is the picture, on his throne at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. God indeed is the sovereign of the universe. The nature of his person, his essence, he can be pictured as seated as he would manifest himself in the third heaven, in the throne room. And at the same time, his power reaches out to every aspect of the universal creation that is before him in this respect. And this is how he is envisioned at ruling. And it shows him in the position of power, of rulership, of exercise of authority at the time of the flood. So five, as sovereign of the universe, it is Yahweh's privilege to enact judgment upon his creation as he sees fit. Obviously, God is perfectly righteous, and he is perfectly just in all his judgment. He is completely, as we've seen already, and emphasized, totally accurate based on his omniscience. So we understand with doctrine, obviously, that any judgment that befalls man or any individual among men is perfect. It is without error, and it is deserved. See. And God is not making any mistakes otherwise. For those who happen to be on the planet that are positive and obedient otherwise, because of association, often they feel the fallout in regards to God's judgment upon those negative around them. But still, his judgments are just. It's his right. It's his privilege to jam, to kill, to maim, whatever he may choose to do in regards to the evil of mankind and its expression as it might come upon the human race. The rose-colored glasses that many Christians look at God through, obviously these verses shatter those glasses. It is the same God that looks over and rules the planet today that ruled back then. And while men may think that and reject God and dismiss Him in their own thoughts and actions, we understand He is positioned and predisposed to bring further judgment upon the planet any and every time it is needed, including on a universal level. As we know, it will be a part of history once again, not too far in the future. So six, the cataclysmic judgment in this case is with water. He can use whatever method or instrument to judge with. In this case, he chooses water. As he further declares, I am bringing, that should have a G in there, the flood of water upon the earth. Just as the judgment upon the original earth that came about due to the angelic rebellion incorporated water in its judgment, so it does with respect to the first universal judgment on the planet with respect to humanity or mankind. Seven, the hiphil participle, which is ongoing causative action of the verb I am bringing, bow, indicates that the process to trigger the event has already been initiated. It's in process. Eight, as a practical matter, that when God began His discourse with Noah in verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me. Judgment is in process. See, and the practical matter, as Noah might be able to orient to it in time. God has determined, and when He determines, it's as good as done. See, is the idea. 9, verse 13 coordinates in time with verse 3 as a point of no return and sovereign decision by God to correlate or parallel the chronology of the recording of verse 3 of 120 years with the rest of the context. It makes sense to me that that's when God spoke to Noah. Obviously, views may vary. Some think that it began when he was 100 at his age of maturity. I'm not going to argue over things like that. But to me, to maintain a parallel otherwise in regards to verse 3 chronologically, that's what makes sense to me. So it's not going to do anything to cause us to lose SG3 or sleep over the matter. So 9 again, verse 13 coordinates in time with verse 3 as a point of no return and sovereign decision by God. 10, Noah is the first person to learn of it, which is a boon for his phase 2 positive volition and destiny for carrying on the seed of the woman. His fidelity in regards to God, his plan, phase 1 and 2 both in this respect. God blessed him in a very unique way. And obviously, while we may think, well, that's quite a message to begin, that he's getting ready to destroy the world, still, he is the first person to hear the divine revelation in the matter. Not unlike those maybe early on, the church, etc., that learned church-age doctrine. So you never know how God might bless one with respect to their fidelity, their faith to positive volition. And here, obviously, Noah is the most notable person. He is picked by God to star in this whole scenario, set apart even from his family in that respect. And he is the one that is highlighted carrying on the line of Messiah. So when God has extraordinary demands that he may place on a believer, he will provide for him or her everything necessary with respect to the information, etc., for those demands to be carried out. So many people out there in the religious world operate under emotional mysticism. It's not even funny. They're living a Christian life, some mystic thing. No, it's not. That's probably one of the most beautiful aspects of Bible doctrine, sound doctrine. It just lays it out in a logical, concise fashion. And here we are. So 11, now the noun flood, as we brought out in the Parsi, Mabul, used 13 times. And it's always technical for Noah's flood. Always technical for Noah's flood. The other 12 uses, as we will see in Genesis 6:17, then in chapter 7, verses 6, 7, 10, and 17. Chapter 9, verse 11 will be used two times in verse 15 and 28. Chapter 10, it's used in verses 1 and 32, and chapter 11, verse 10. And then the one used outside of Genesis is Psalm 29:10. Which we just read. The Lord said and thrown at the flood, Mabul. So 12, in all cases, the noun is with the definite article, the flood, excepting Genesis 9, 11, and 15 in the Noahic covenant portion of this era. And there, the flood is without the definite article to note that there will never be another flood, any other flood, like the flood, as part of the promise of the covenant. And I establish my covenant with you, 9:11, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of a flood. Neither shall there be again be the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. And 15, when the bow is in the cloud, that's our rainbow. Then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh is on the earth. Or 15, before that. I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. Never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. So 13, the purpose of the flood here, obviously, is to, quote, destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth will perish. 14, the PL infinitive, emphatic, active, to destroy, shakoth, means to utterly destroy. Repeating God's promise of judgment in verse 13. Behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Same term. 15 is the same verb translated corrupt in verses 11 and 12. The earth was corrupt in the sight of God, filled with violence. And behold, it was corrupt, verse 12b, or ruined as it could be translated. So it's the same verb translated corrupt in verses 11 and 12. Indicting all that are associated with the evil plaguing the planet. 16, more precisely, it is, quote, all flesh, kol bashar, end quote, that are dependent upon the breath of life, air-breathing creatures, ruach kayim, living on land, the earth, haaretz, and from under heaven, anything within the atmospheric heaven span of the planet. Min Tarkath Ha Shamayim. So 17, this impacts all air-breathing creatures to include man, animals, crawly things, and birds. 18, the judgment is that they will die by drowning. Death by drowning. 19, the verb shall die, gawa, is a rare word for dying. 20, it more closely relates to our term expire, to expire. So 21, it pictures the planet as, quote, spoiled, end quote, reaching an, quote, expiration date, end quote, for its use. The expiration date has been set, 120 years. All right. Verses 18 through 20. We have the announcement of the Noahic flood. I'll be a future announcement as it is. Alright, looking at the Hebrew in these verses. Better now, I will establish my covenant with you. We have the wow consecutive. Follow with the hippil, perfect, first common singular verb, kum, Q-U-M. But I will literally cause to stand, established, as it may be translated here. Follow with the sign of the direct object. Then the phrase, my covenant, is a common feminine singular construct noun with the first common singular suffix, barith. B-E-R-I-T-H. Barith means covenant or treaty, a pact. With you is a preposition with the second masculine singular suffix, eth. E-T-H. Looks the same form as the sign of the direct object, but it also functions as a preposition. Just to confuse the interpreter. And you shall enter the ark. Wow, consecutive, verb, cow, perfect, second masculine singular, or verb to enter, to go into, bow, go, or leave, to come or leave, as it may be translated. Into the ark, preposition L, E-L, follow with our definite article and noun for ark, common feminine singular, absolute, tebah, T-E-B-A-H. And you enter into the ark, literally. You and your sons and your wife. You had the pronoun here, personal pronoun, yourself, atah, A-T-T-A-H, plus the wow conjunction and the common masculine plural noun construct with the second masculine singular suffix, ben, term for noun for sons. Here, your sons, and the wow conjunction, common feminine singular construct, the second masculine singular suffix, our word for wife, here your wife, Isha, I-S-H-A-H. You, yourself, and your sons and your wife. And your sons' wives with you. Well, should be conjunction, not consecutive. Follow with our common feminine plural construct, our term noun for wives, again, Isha. Plus the common masculine plural construct, second masculine singular suffix, ben, sons, your sons, wives, plus the preposition with the second masculine singular suffix, eth, and the wives of your sons together with you, eth, with you. Verse 19, and the very living thing of all flesh. Well, conjunction, so now... God reveals why such a monstrosity of a vessel, obviously it's a lot to build for just a family of eight, and of every living thing of all flesh. Vowel conjunction, preposition men, M-I-N. All is a common masculine singular construct, cold. Follow with our definite article, adjective masculine singular, absolute things, living, K, C-H-A-Y. And from each of the living, literally, from all flesh. Preposition men repeated, kol repeated, then our noun for flesh again, bashar. B-A-S-H-A-R, flesh. You shall bring of every, and from all, from each of the living, from all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark. You have the adjective, masculine, dual number, obviously two. Absolute, Shanaim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M. Two, from each, preposition men. Our noun, kol, repeated, common masculine singular, absolute. You will cause to bring the hifil, imperfect, second masculine singular, again, our verb bo, B-O. Into the ark, preposition L, E-L, follow with the definite article, the noun for ark, tabah, T-E-B-A-H. Purpose, to keep them alive with you, preposition lamed, followed with the hifil infinitive construct, kayah, C-H-A-Y-A-H. To cause, to live, to keep alive, hence, with you, preposition eth, again with the second masculine singular suffix. Then he articulates, defines, they shall be male and female. Our words for male and female here, first noun for male, common masculine singular absolute, is zakar, C-A-K-A-R, vowel conjunction. Then our noun for female, feminine singular absolute, nekabah, N-E-Q-E-B-A-H. They will be, they will exist, literally, kalim perfect, third masculine singular, third masculine plural, excuse me, of our verb hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. Verse 20. Continuing of the birds after their kind, and of the animals after their kind. You have the preposition men, literally from. All those words translated of is literally from. Men, M-I-N. The birds, definite article, common masculine singular absolute, or noun oph, O-P-H. Plus the preposition lamed, and the common masculine singular noun construct, but the third masculine singular suffix, mean, M-I-Y-N. After their kind, might say species, family is really the probably the better word. As we might understand it. Then the animals after their kind, same type of construct here, vowel conjunction, preposition men, definite article, or noun for animal, animals here, all these are collective singulars in the Hebrew, common feminine singular absolute, behema, B-E-H-E-M-A-H, after their kind, lamed, common masculine singular construct, third fit in the singular suffix, mean, beasts, animals after their kind. And then, from every creeping thing of the ground after his kind. Preposition men, again. Every here is a common masculine singular construct. Kol, K-O-L, every or all. Creeping thing is our common masculine singular noun construct, remesh, R-E-M-E-S-H. the ground, every creeping thing of the ground, definite article, our noun for ground here is the common word we see, common feminine singular absolute, adama, A-D-A-M-A-H. After its kind, same construct, lamed, plus the mean now with the third masculine singular suffix. And then the number attributed to these, two of every kind shall come to you to keep alive. Two, again, is our adjective, masculine, dural, absolute, shenayim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M. From every kind is preposition men, our noun coal. From each, two from each, literally, will come to you is a cow, imperfect third masculine plural, our verb bo, B-O, followed with a preposition L with the second masculine singular suffix, E-L, will come to you to keep them alive. You have the preposition lamed, obviously given the purpose of why they're coming to Noah, followed with the hifil infinitive construct kaya, to keep alive or living, C-H-A-Y-A-H. Reading the three verses here, 18 through 20. But I will establish my covenant with you, God speaking to Noah, and you will enter the ark, you, yourself, and your sons and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Verse 19, and from every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark, for the purpose to keep alive with you. They will be male and female. Verse 20, of the birds after their kind, from the animals after their kind, and from every creeping thing of the ground after his kind. Two of every kind shall come to you to keep them alive. Now this is verses 18 through 20. One, in contrast to the destiny of all flesh, the divine agenda has other plans for Noah. We saw verse 17, God intends judgment upon all flesh, but there are the exceptions. And now he reflects the divine agenda as it applies to Noah as and those associated with him as the exception. So two, these plans now find their security in a future covenant God makes with Noah, but I will establish my covenant with you. Will establish denotes something in the future. So the covenant is being addressed, but is yet being articulated to Noah. That will follow, as we know, in later verses. But God addresses the fact that a covenant is to be made with Noah, a promise. So three, Noah here is the chosen recipient of this covenant per the prepositional phrase, with you. God makes the contract strictly between him and Noah, but it has obviously far-reaching effects. Our preposition F with the suffix. So four, Noah clearly is the person of supreme importance of these verses. And that due to, obviously, the outstanding nature and obedience of his population and the time at which he lives. That also is part of the equation. Orientation to that time. It doesn't take or detract from any of the other primogeniture believers before him or after him. But he lived at this time, and he now is the one that God chooses as that qualified to be the ring finger of humanity, that which gets the notation in time with respect to his person. So Noah clearly is the person of supreme importance. He is the star of the flood movie. So five, it highlights the principle of blessing by association. The fact of blessing by association can be applied essentially to everyone. We're all, to a certain degree, blessed by association from other population around us or before us, or as they may even actually not even yet have come on the scene, but in anticipation of it. So here Noah is highlighted. In addition to his person, we see others who will be a part of the deliverance that he will enjoy, including his family and other living creatures with him. And this all points to the principle of blessing by association. Six, that the covenant is future is seen in the hifel perfect with the wow consecutive. The perfect in the Hebrew, again, denotes past tense. But when you put that conjunction wow in front of it, it flips it around and makes it a future tense. Tell me the Jews don't like to mess with your head. Yes, they do. But it's fun. And vice versa. You may have an imperfect with a wow consecutive, then turns it into a past tense. The important thing in regards to the perfect and imperfect, one denotes a completed action. Another one denotes an action yet to be completed. That's your main emphasis. So, anyway, that the covenant here is future. It's seen in the Hifel perfect with the wow consecutive of the phrase, but I will establish. The wow with cum. Seven, the verb establish here literally means cause to stand. We may say confirm. To confirm. Eight, again, the details of the covenant are revealed in chapter 9 and following, as the same language that we see the blessing by association with Noah. God blessed Noah, his sons, in regards to their procreative endeavors. At post-flood, and then all men are blessed by association in 9 and following, as God says he will not ever bring that type of judgment upon the planet again. The next one will be a little warmer, not quite so wet. It will be a dry baptism. It will be a dry judgment by fire. So the details of the covenant are not to be revealed in thoroughly until chapter 9 and following. So why the preliminary announcement, point 9, the preliminary announcement is designed to further encourage Noah that in spite of the fate of the world, God has future destiny reserved for his population. Recognizing God, his person, how he interacts with the world based on his essence, his attributes. While we may look and see the expectation of bad things or judgment and things of this nature that may occur throughout history, as positive believers living on the same planet of which these things, these events will transpire, etc., we are to understand that based on our relationship with God, the situation is not quite the same. And in spite of what may happen to the world around us, the fact that you are positive, you're being obedient to God in that respect, God has a plan for you that is separated from the judgment scenario. So this preliminary announcement is designed to encourage Noah. Obviously, he is letting Noah know that the ark is going to be the vessel for his deliverance. Others are going to be delivered with him, blessing by association. And the fact is God, Noah, I as God have future plans for you because you are positive. And even though the rest of the world may end, it doesn't mean the end for positive volition. So, 10, it shows us, first and foremost, that the covenant, the contract, if you will, is no ad hoc arrangement hatched in God's mind once the waters recede. It's not anything in Genesis 9. These things didn't come after the fact, and God goes, all right, well, that's over with. Now I think I'll plan to make a contract with Noah and ensure him and humanity I won't destroy the earth like this again. No, that's not the way God works. And this, what this does, it really brings to bear the importance of God's promises with respect to us, and that these promises obviously have been developed in eternity past. See. And that's why you can stand upon them, you can faith rest, and be assured that what God has in store for Paul's volition will indeed be fulfilled. So it shows us that the covenant was no ad hoc arrangement. God's not just making up plans as he goes along, as history moves along here. Now he's already got it all worked out. See, from now into eternity, if you can wrap your mind around that. So 11, the plan of God was designed in eternity past, and all aspects of his fulfillment have been predetermined. Obviously, the doctrine, election, and calling, the promises attributed to that is the example I bring out here, Romans 8, 28 through 30, this is why you can depend upon the Word of God. When it says it's going to do something, God says he's going to do something, that's, you can take it to the bank, that's what he's going to do. See? And he's not some limited intellectual creationist that has to play it by ear and figure things out as he goes along. Now, he's got a perfect plan that was developed in eternity past. Every aspect of it. And it's laid out for us in the scenario of creation. What we choose to do with it obviously determines on what side the repercussions or otherwise that is what his plan has in store for mankind in this respect. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. The caveat, obviously, in regards to good things, blessings of God, is our willingness to apply divine love. It's not some emotional modeling, embracing that's in view here, as the fundies would like to think. God's promise here, of bringing everything together, is a promise for positive volition. Of those who are willing to commit themselves to Bible doctrine. Doesn't mean that testing won't come along the way and be part of it. But it all is still coming together, and that is for our ultimate benefit. And that obviously, if you can get your mind off of life in and of itself long enough to project your eternal life niche and the ramifications attributed to that, in addition to it, who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All the aspects of His love obviously are portrayed in regards to the basic essentials attributed to salvation and all that that means, the basic categories that that means in regards to man. He determined those who would believe in Christ, they're going to be saved. See? And that they would have a certain destiny and certain promises that are attached to them. He did all this in eternity past. So that's why you can go through life not wringing your hands like the fundies want to get you to do and emote over people dying and going to hell because you're not out there knocking on doors, making an ass out of yourself and ruining their dinner, as it may occur. But no, and again, we don't detract from the importance of your witness, but you don't have to force it. And know that God knows where population exists at any point in time in history. I don't care. And we take it and we understand beyond even beyond phase one. For the gospel message phase one, where there may be population that would believe if they heard the gospel message of faith in Christ. See, that he would make sure the truth got to them. And it truly isn't dependent on humanity. Jesus himself said, God would make the rocks talk if he asked you to proclaim the truth of his word. When you look at the magnitude of God, his power, and the control he has over history and creation, it really is a privilege to find yourself being used by God in this capacity. You know, rather than looking at it as the toil and hard work, as a lot of people like to look at the Christian life. Oh, it's so hard. Well, if you come out of a legalistic background, I understand where you're coming from. But not according to the sound dictates of doctrine. No, it's not that hard. How hard is it? And you show up to class a couple, three times a week. You know, and you've got a nice automobile to drive. Don't have to get out in the elements, except for running from the car to the house, unless you've got a garage. Yeah, I got one. Anyway, you know, a home to live in today. I mean, think about being positive back in the time of Noah, or back, you know, even in the 1800s. Before technology, we got it so easy, so soft. And that's the downfall for a lot of Christians. But anyway, not to get into all that. The fact is, God has laid this all out in eternity past. And all you got to do is plug in, be positive to his word, and apply it in your Christian life. And everything else will fall into place exactly as God has so determined. And here, under the umbrella of the salvation adjustment, for whom he foreknew, verse 29, he also predestined, based on his foreknowledge, his ability to see all things perfectly into the future, to consider every conditional situation, every if or whatever. And who he foreknew here, obviously the emphasis here, are those who have believed in Christ. He predestined them. He predetermined. He sovereignly determined. He made a decision that cannot be broken by anything or anyone, to become conformed to the image of his Son. That conformity is in the aspects of righteousness, as well as the physical aspects that we can expect in regards to resurrection body and all these other things. Everything that we have, the human spirit of our righteousness, the God, the Holy Spirit, as we try to live the Christian life, it's all based on who and what Jesus Christ is and what he shares with us. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Obviously, the evidence of all this will be in resurrection. He is the first to ever receive in his humanity a resurrection body of all humanity. The seed of the woman, in whom he predestined, these he also called. He ensures that the gospel message will be made and will be afforded the individual. In whom he called, these he also justified. He made sure that they would share in his absolute righteousness. See, justification is the imputation of God's righteousness, giving to our account plus our. And in the spirit aspect of it is represented through our human spirit as a token of that righteousness, as well as God the Holy Spirit. But either way, to be justified, and whom he justifies, these he also glorified. This is all spoken as if in the past, but the glorification is yet to occur, the resurrection. So, understand it. These are where you got to keep your eyes when you're in the middle of testing. Other things around you may look like they're falling apart or whatever. Understand, God has all this, has already worked all this stuff out. You have really one issue. He wants you to be able to free your mind in concentration, in fellowship, on the truth of His Word and His promises so that you can deal with the test, recognizing He'll deal with the external situations as necessary to get you through these tests. Obviously, it means we have to make application in many cases. But He's still in control of the circumstances and situations that's in front of us in regards to our test. And it's all being worked out. And He knows whether you're going to pass it, whether you're going to flunk it, and all these other good things too. So there you are. Well, that is the purpose given to Noah, and that's to remind Noah in regards to this catastrophic judgment of God. He's been ready to dump on this planet that, well, in that same plan that I obviously foreknew would be necessary, I have you taken care of in my plan. Otherwise, because you are positive to Bible doctrine. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.